Welcome to today's Washington Page. I'm Sam McIntosh, on the one to count on for today's news and local information, KCII. On today's program, I'm talking with Vicki Crompton. She is the author of the book Saving Beauty from the Beast, and she was the keynote speaker at the Domestic Violence Educational Symposium that occurred last Friday in Washington, where she spoke about how her teenage daughter was murdered by an abusive boyfriend.
Of course, you've written a book and you've written in other books about the situation that happened and about domestic violence, and you've spoken to schools and here. And I just wonder, what do you think is the main point that you hope to get across to people who have heard your story?
Well, I think over the years, my main purpose has changed when I tell my story. Certainly in the beginning, the purpose was to educate teenagers and parents about this whole phenomenon of teen dating violence, because 30 years ago it was almost unheard of. And so I feel like maybe that has been accomplished. I think that people are aware of it now, and I certainly there's a lot of curriculum in schools. So I feel the need for that maybe isn't as great. What I'd like to do now is to maybe talk more about this whole idea of dialogue with the person who has hurt you, and if possible, maybe resulting forgiveness.
This was kind of a question I wanted to ask after the presentation. I think you said you have a son and a daughter as well. How was it like, you know, after what had occurred, how was it parenting them when they got older into the high school years, especially dealing with maintaining safe romantic relationships and raising a son and a daughter?
They hated it. My two surviving children, when they got to be teenagers, they couldn't stand it because I was so scared and so strict. And I can remember my son saying, "Mom, nobody else's mother calls all the time like you do. You know, why are you always checking up?" And when my son was a little boy, I was just, you know, "Don't you go out of the front yard," and really, really restricted his freedom. And I'm sorry about that now, because I don't think that was healthy for him. My daughter really rebelled. So it was not a good thing. You can look at me and understand why, but it wasn't a good thing. But I was so scared.
What are some misconceptions you think people have out there about domestic violence and how that can occur?
Well, one of the biggest misconceptions about teen domestic violence is that it only happens to a certain kind of teen from a certain kind of family. And that would be the teen who's failing in school, maybe sexually promiscuous, maybe using drugs, maybe doesn't have a strong family unit. And that used to infuriate me in the early years, because none of that was true of my daughter. It can happen to anyone. Both the offender and the victim can come from any socioeconomic class. And so to try and stereotype and say, "Oh, it only happens, you know, to a certain kind of kid."
If you have advice for someone who knows someone who might be in a domestic violence situation, what do you suggest that person does if they see this, whether this person might be the victim or even the perpetrator?
Victims, I think if the person you know is the victim, victims tend to become isolated. Part of that is their partner is isolating them, and part of it is they're isolating themselves. And so I think to come up alongside of them non-judgmentally and just be a friend. "I'm here. I'm here for you. You know, don't be afraid to call me," so that they don't become isolated. When it comes to the perpetrator, I would really like to see more people step up. And normally the perpetrator is a man. I mean, majority, it's a man. I'd like to see other men step up and say, "Hey, you know, what are you doing? Why are you doing that?" And Mark Smith himself said to me, if some of my friends, he goes, "I wanted to look good in front of my friends. And if my friends had said anything to me and kind of made fun of me or insulted me," he goes, "I probably would have stopped." And so I think peer pressure can be very powerful. I think we need to not be afraid to come alongside someone, either in friendship or to maybe point out, "What are you doing?" That would be my advice.
telling your story, and like you said, you served on the Crime Victim Assistance Division, and you've been public about this story and reaching out to people, whether they're victims or schools. How has that impacted you sharing your story over the past 30 plus years?
I feel very fortunate that I have been able to share my story and give input onto boards and other agencies, because I did go back to school and get a master's degree in counseling. And one of the things I remember a professor saying is, when it comes to grief, you need to tell your story over and over and over again. And most people don't want to listen. They don't want to listen to your story of grief. And so I have been very fortunate to be able to tell that story. And so I think, as well as feeling that it's maybe helped people, maybe even saved some teenage lives, it has helped me to heal. So I feel lucky.
That's been today's Washington Page with Vicki Crompton, keynote speaker at the Domestic Violence Educational Symposium that occurred Friday, October 27th at the Washington Public Library. You can find this program at kciiradio.com. I'm Sam McIntosh with KCII News.